We're going to get our passages out of Deuteronomy 29 today. But to better understand it, we're going to get a little context. We're going to back up and begin with Deuteronomy 29, 1 through 6. And it says, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, 'You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, a great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God.'" Verses 1 through 6 is the introduction of Moses' farewell speech before departing into the mountain to die, just before the Israelites were to enter the land of promise. And then we continue in this extended speech into verse 29 that says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." And that's going to be our focus today. The secret things that belong to the Lord and the revealed things that belong to us. Now the people of Israel were at a threshold. Behind them was the promises of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Behind them was the deliverance from Egypt, the golden calf, and their faithfulness and their grumblings. Before them was the promised land, a place of great promise and great potential, but also a land of uncertainty and danger. And we too stand at the threshold, not of a new land, but of this new year. It's year 2014. As I said a couple weeks ago, we have a clean slate. We're looking ahead. See, behind us is God's promise of salvation. Our experiences last year of successes and accomplishments, of hardships and blessings, and unfortunately, the memory of sins and grumblings. Before us are many potentials, many promises, but also uncertainties and dangers. We don't know what will happen in this nature, in this country of ours. We don't know what will happen in our families, and we don't know what will happen in our personal lives in 2014. We're like Israel in this passage. We're ready to march forward, but somewhat reluctant. In verse 29, God gives us a formula on how to move forward, just like he did the nation of Israel. The first part of the formula is the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The secret things are the things that we don't know about, but God does. National and international events. We don't know where our economy will go in 2014. We don't know what surprises the terrorists will have. We don't know what surprises will happen in our country. On personal things, we don't know where our health will go next year, this year. Our financial successes. Will it be good? Will it be bad? We don't know. The state of our marriages. We may have another year of good health, but this may be the year our health leaves us. Financially, this may be the year your ship comes in. Or maybe this year you face hardships and face bankruptcy. At your work, you may get a promotion this year, or you may not. Your job may be in jeopardy. You see, these secret things also include the future of our church. What does God have in store for Coshocton Baptist Church in 2014? Will we grow or will we stagnate? Will there be a revival or will we be filled with church problems? Will we hold fast to our duties or will we scatter and desert our posts? Who knows? This is a secret known only to God. But I believe that's a blessing. Who does really want to know what the future holds? Who wants to look ahead? Matthew 6:34 tells us, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, we have enough to think about today without worrying about what may happen in the future. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. God has it. It's in God's control. I believe it's God's grace and His love for us that He doesn't let us know what's going to happen. As you think about this truth, I have two implications for us. The first is we should not be obsessed with looking into the future. Many people in the secular world are just thrilled and preoccupied with astrology and psychic predictions. Even your horoscope in the newspapers or on the computers that people get every day. They want to get a glimpse into the future, what the day holds for them or what the week holds for them. But God has already told us everything we need to know about the future. He tells it to us in His Word, in the Bible. He tells us the second coming, about the tribulation and so on and so on. You see, God has forbidden us to look any farther into the future other than what His Word has told us. Any attempts to circumvent God just shows a lack of faith in His Word and what He holds for us. Psychics, Ouija boards, horoscopes, tarot cards, whatever you use to try to peer into the future are forbidden by Scripture. They're satanic in nature and spiritually dangerous. God has told us all we need to know in His holy book. We can be caught up in interpretations of prophecy and the goings on in this world that we forget about our day-to-day duties. We're so worried about our world. Is world news lining up with the prophecies that we have? Are we close to the end times? Well, you know, it doesn't matter because God has it. God knows when the time's coming. The Bible outlines His future plans for us, but we can't become so engrossed in peering into the future that we lose our sight of everyday duties. The second implication is if it belongs to God, if the future belongs to God, we shouldn't worry about it. Some things are just simply beyond our control. Matthew 6:27 says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And that's a good question. What can you add to your life? What can you add to your height by spending one moment worrying about the future? Nothing. You can't add a thing. All you do is lose time and give yourself ulcers. God knows the future. He tells us to plan and prepare, but He doesn't tell us to worry. He tells us to trust in Him, to rely on Him. So what value is there in fretting and worrying? Paul says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your results, your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The first part of God's formula is the future belongs to Him. Don't waste your time worrying. Don't waste your time trying to look into the future. Just make sure that you're planning, you're preparing, and you're doing the things that God calls you to do today. Because the second part of the formula says, those things which are revealed to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Everything that's revealed to us, all the things that we know as fact and as truth, as revealed in God's Word, belong to us. We're to make use of our minds, our bodies, our talents, and our gifts for the good of God. These things belong to us. There's things that we know, and there are things that we can do something about. We all work together to serve God. He has revealed to you your talents, your gifts, the things that He has called you to do. The Israelites failed in the thing they were called to do, the things that belonged to them, and that was going into the promised land. All they had to do was go in by faith and take it. But because of their fear and their faithfulness, they wouldn't go in. And God barred an entire generation from going into the promised land. That honor was left for the next generation. Let's talk about some applications of this truth for us today. You don't know whether you'll get a sickness, whether you'll die of cancer, you'll die of heart disease. That's a hidden thing that belongs to God. But you do know the effects of bad habits that can lead to cancer or heart disease, can lead to a failing heart, to failing health. Health of your body, God's temple. And that's one of the things that belong to us. You don't know exactly how your children will turn out. But you do know your responsibilities as a parent to rear them up with discipline and the teaching of the Lord. Stop worrying about the future. That belongs to God. And focus on your part today to impact their lives. You set goals for your kids. You hold them accountable. You be tough when you need to be, loving when you need to be. Expect the best out of them today and leave the rest to God. Don't worry about what they'll turn out like in the future. You can't know that. But you can do the best that you can do today. And that's the things that God has revealed to us. You don't know if a friend of yours will accept Christ this year. But you know your responsibility to teach him, to talk with him. Do all in your power to bring him into the knowing grace of Jesus Christ. And you don't know what the future holds for this church. But you do know you should serve God in it. You should attend its services. You should support it financially. You know those things today and leave the future to God. We need to stop worrying about the things that belong to the Lord and worry about the things that belong to us. And even in those things, we don't have to face them alone. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "In the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." Isn't that a wonderful promise? A promise from God Himself that if we trust in Him, we deal with today, that He'll not only be with us, but He'll be before us. He'll be preparing the way for your day. I don't know how many of you begin every day in prayer, but it makes a difference. Talk to God. Talk about your day, what you might face. He'll ease your concerns. As you do this, you'll feel His presence. You'll feel His support and His guidance. And don't forget to be in His Word. That's how He instructs us. How can you get to your destination if you don't consult a map or ask someone how to get there? And that's just what God's Word is for us. directions. So first, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid how your future is going to turn out, because the secret things belong to God. God's got them under control. You'll go through good days and bad days this year. I can almost guarantee it. But even the bad days won't be so bad if you're walking with your hand in the hand of God. He'll be both before you. He'll be beside you. He'll clear the rocks out of the path. Now, what more could you have asked of God than that? And the second verse commands, neither be dismayed. Well, the Hebrew word translated means to be shattered or broken. So whatever you face in your life, don't allow it to break you or shatter you, because God is with you and He'll hold you up. This year, this month, maybe this very day, you're going to face something in your life that is just soul shattering, so overwhelming that you want to give up. That's exactly what God wants you not to do. He wants you to stand strong with Him and to face it, and He'll bring you through it. God will not fail you. God will not forsake you. The question for this year is, but will you fail Him? Will you forsake your place of duty? That's our failure that we can face if we don't walk with God, if we don't take our strength from Him and allow Him to lift us up. So let's let this be the formula for our future. Grasp eagerly the things that belong to us. Take a hold of them and own them. Face each day in prayer and in His Word and ready to live for today. Don't fret about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself if you take care of today. Leave that for God. So how can we bring this right down to our lives? First, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to make that decision today. With Christ as your Lord and Savior, He'll guide you. He'll give you a whole new family to support you, to love you, and accept you. He'll forgive you of your sins. And when you die, He'll take you to heaven. Believers, there's a different application for you. You can't know the future, but you can affect the future by the choices you make today. If you repent of a sin and avoid that sin, you can avert God's judgment. The result of sin, God's judgments, the things that happen into our lives, those bad things just complicate our lives. And it doesn't need to be that way. If you're walking with God, you'll make less bad decisions. If you start serving God and others, you might avoid depression or sadness, because it's those who serve God, serve their roles in the church, are happier, more satisfied, and more joyful and fulfilled in life. If you stop an unhealthy habit that damages your body, God's temple, you'll extend your life and become a worthy example for your kids and for your friends around you. If you stop gossiping, you'll have more friends and you'll have closer friends. If you stop speaking harshly, being mean and unloving, you'll have more love back to you. You'll win the hearts of your children. You'll win your heart, the hearts of your friends. You cannot know the future, but the choices that you make will affect your future. They have the power to affect your life, and not only that, but the lives around you. They can have eternal impact on the people that you meet. By sharing Christ with a friend, he could trust Christ and have an eternal life. By serving others, you can be a blessing in their lives. And a right word in someone's life can make their day and even save a life. I read a story about in one of the Christian magazines I get about a woman who intended to commit suicide. She was actually on her way to the Golden Gate Bridge to jump off. She hailed a taxi cab to get her close to the bridge. And what she didn't know is she got into a cab with a Christian with a big mouth. He liked to talk. As soon as she got in the cab and he started driving, he said, "It's great to be alive, isn't it?" And she says, "No, it's not." And he goes, "Well, I'll give you that. Some days are bad days." He says, "Still, it beats the alternative." He says, "I'll go one step further. Knowing Jesus Christ is better than living because he gives you peace and joy and happiness." She still felt lousy. She was still on her way to the bridge, but she got to thinking. Well, he pulled over and let her out a couple blocks from the bridge as she started walking. And she started thinking about what he had to say. Well, she got to the bridge and she looked at the cars and she stood there for a while. But she turned around and went back home. She just couldn't get the words out of her mind. The next Sunday, she went to church. Just randomly picked a church. 6 weeks later, that pastor led her to Christ. The story was written by that lady. Claims it's a true story, and I believe it. But one cabbie that was willing to share his faith made a difference in that woman's life. From eternal death to eternal life. And we have that power in our lives. Every day you're called upon to serve God. To serve him with gladness and with joy. We can't know the future. We can't know where we're going to end up. But I can tell you this. If you pay attention to today and you do the things you're called to do and you start walking with God, you pray, you listen, you get closer to God and you'll make less and less mistakes in your life. You'll have more and more joy and happiness in your life. Less depression, less loneliness as you experience the joy of God and the joy of your fellow Christians. Let's stand and pray together. I'm calling you today to be a blesser. A joy to be around. A Christian friend. An edifier. And a leader of people. Spouse. Heavenly Father, I know you have our lives in your hands. You are in control of our lives. But Father, I pray this morning for a closer walk with you. Father, I come here today to be changed. I come here expecting to draw closer and closer to you, Father. And I thank you for the words that you've given me over this week, in the previous week, Father. The things that you have shown me in your word, in your love that you pour out on your people. And Father, I just pray for all those here. We turn to you. Every day. And we follow you every day. And we give you the future with no worry, with no concern, accepting you and your trust and your faith. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. The altar is open.